Vocalheads Live is a weekly Twitter space where the do-it-yourself investor community asks questions to financial experts live. You can ask your questions by joining us live on Twitter each week. Get the dates and times for the next Vocalheads Live by following the John C. Bogle Center for Financial Literacy on Twitter. That's at Vocalheads. For those that can't make the live events, episodes are recorded and turned into a podcast. Thank you for joining us for the 22nd Vocalheads Live. My name is John Luskin, and I'm your host. Our guest for today is Dan Otter. Let's start by talking about the Vocalheads, a community of investors who believe in keeping it simple, following a small number of tried and true investing principles. This episode of Vocalheads Live, as with all episodes, is brought to you by the John C. Bogle Center for Financial Literacy, a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to helping people make better financial decisions. Visit our newly redesigned website at boglecenter.net to find valuable information and to make a tax-deductible donation. The annual Vocalheads Conference is on October 12th through 14th in the Chicago area. Speakers include previous guests of Vocalheads Live. That's going to include Rick Ferry, host of the Vocalheads on Investing podcast, Christine Benz, director of personal finance at Morningstar, Mike Piper of Oblivious Investor, yours truly, and much more. There are just a few seats remaining. You can register at boglecenter.net/2022conference. Mark your calendars for future episodes of Vocalheads Live. Next week, we'll have Mike Piper returning to discuss bequest allocation and bequest location. The week after that, we'll have Derek Tharp discussing how to take money out of your portfolio in retirement. We're doing a call for volunteers. If you want to help turn live episodes into podcasts, we're looking for podcast editors, transcribers, and for help with proofing transcriptions to help spread the message of low-cost investing. Shoot me a DM on Twitter. At John Luskin is my user handle. Before we get started on today's show, a disclaimer, this is for informational and entertainment purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment, tax, or other financial planning decisions. Thanks for everyone who did submit questions ahead of time. We might not have time to answer all of them. Let's get started on today's show with Dan Otter. Dan Otter, PhD, is a teacher, author, and executive director at 403bwise.org, a nonprofit organization that educates teachers about their retirement plan options and advocates for better 403b and 457b investment choices. He's the author of several personal finance books, Teach and Retire Rich, Financial Literacy for the Young and Young at Heart, and the 403b Wise Guide. He co-hosts the Teach and Retire Rich podcast. Dan Otter, thanks for joining us today on Vocalheads Live. Tell us, what do folks need to know about 403b fees?
First of all, I just want to say, John, thanks for this opportunity. We are huge fans of you, of Vocalheads, and we like to think that John Bogle's DNA is in 403b Wise. What do folks need to know about 403Bs, K-12 403Bs? They are a great way to supplement a pension. Unfortunately, most K-12 403B plans are awful. There are loads and loads of high-cost vendors with sales agents pitching high-cost products. And our mission is to educate educators about the 403B and help them invest in and get access to the best low-cost investments.
You had me at low-cost investment. Dan, let's jump to our first question. This one is from username FrontDonut7980 from Vocalheads Reddit, who asks, how do you convince your organization to offer more low-cost index fund options in a 403b?
We have two main strategies. The first would be simply ask the benefit officials. We have lots of resources in our advocacy section at 403bwise.org. We also, in that section, have an online calculator. Do a simple calculation comparing the cost. Take this data to your benefits officials, and hopefully they will approve your request. Also, appeal to their self-interest. They are participants in this plan, and it's in their interest to have the best possible options. Now, we mostly deal with school districts. What we also say is enlist your coworkers, build an army. Squeaky wheels often get attention. Get a bunch of your colleagues together. Again, use our advocacy resources. If you get rebuffed by the benefits official, speak at a school board meeting. Send letters to school board members. Use data and facts. but also be very polite. We know that school districts in particular have lots of things on their plate. We know the 403B is a supplemental retirement plan. Most educators have a pension. But you know what? Most firefighters and police officers have great pensions, but they also have great supplemental retirement plan. That's called the 457B. Teachers deserve an excellent 403B in addition to an excellent pension.
Couldn't agree more. Squeaky wheel gets the grease. That resource for advocating on your site, I'll link to that in the show notes. I know that the Vogelheads Wiki has a page that talks about that issue as well. Hey, I've got a high fee plan. What do I do? Here is a game plan for championing for lower cost investing for your own workplace plan. Here's a case study. I've got a client whose wife works at a school and she's got access to a 403B. This gentleman let me know, hey, I looked at the investment options and the cheapest option I could find was a 403B with Horace Mann, and the fee's 0.25% for the fund. So that's not terrible. But then 1% for the advisor. John Luskin, your Bogleheads Live host, jumping in for a podcast edit. Here, I listed some percents, 0.25, 1%. Let's give those numbers some context for those who aren't investment expense nerds. You'll notice that when I mentioned the fee on the fund is 0.25%, the week's guest, Dan Otter, expressed a whoo. Because believe it or not, while 0.25% doesn't sound like a lot, it actually is. You could compare that 0.25% to the fee charged by a low-cost index fund. For example, Vanguard's VTI, which is the ticker for Vanguard's Total U.S. Stock Market Fund, has an expense of 0.03. That is to say, if you're paying 0.25%, you're paying more than 8 times what you could be paying with a low-cost Vanguard index fund. But those are just the fund fees. I also mentioned a 1% advisor fee. So if 0.25% is a lot to pay, then a full 1% is a huge investment expense. Imagine you entered retirement with a $1 million portfolio. Over the next 22 years, you'll earn an 8% investment return. If you had a 1% additional fee on that portfolio, the difference that you'll end up with in just 22 years is $1 million itself. That's to say, while 1% sounds small, it adds up to big money over time. For investing, the takeaway is always the same. Smart investors focus on keeping their costs low. And now, back to the show. So perhaps before I even ask you how he can pay less, because I certainly want the answer to that question, give us a little bit of 403B 101s in that. How come in a 401k, I'm only going to have one plan provider, but with 403B, I can have a lot?
I live in the California town of Redlands. And if you work in the school district in this town, John, you have 42 financial companies. Can you imagine trying to make heads or tails out of 42 financial companies, each one offering dozens and dozens of investments? The big reason the K-12 403B is so bad is that the K-12 403B is not subject to ERISA. That's the Employee Retirement Income Security Act of the early 70s. This requires the employer to exhibit some fiduciary duty. This is why if you work at Apple Corporation in Cupertino, California, you have one low-cost vendor, Fidelity. Most school districts around the country are multi-vendor. K-12 school districts take a very hands-off approach. They often have dozens of vendors, and most of them are high cost. Now, you do see the rare school district. The city of Chicago just went to single vendor. They have one low-cost option. The school district where I used to teach in Maryland, Montgomery County Public Schools, they have a vendor that is the same as Apple Corporation. They have Fidelity, and the plan is just as good. So just because you don't have to exhibit fiduciary oversight doesn't mean that the school district shouldn't exhibit fiduciary oversight. Now, to your question, so if this is a school district, chances are there are more vendors than just Horace Mann. So what I would say is take a look at that vendor list. Go to the 403B Wise Facebook group. It's a place where teachers from all over the country or asking questions and getting answers, go ahead and post that vendor list on our Facebook group, and you will get feedback from our community. Another big initiative of ours is we are seeking to list the vendors of every school district in the country. This is an enormous task. There are more than 14,500 school districts. To date, we have 3,300 403B vendor lists for school districts. And not only do we list the vendors, and you can search to see if we have your school district, we also rate the vendors. On our homepage, we've got this picture of a teacher. Just above that is a yellow box. Click that, and you can search to see if we have your school district. And you will see our vendors, the vendors that are available in your school district, if we have your list. If we don't, you can upload your vendor list. Then what you can also do is click the district plan rating project icon, and you will see that we rate vendors. We use a traffic light system. Green is good. Proceed. Use these companies. They're excellent. This includes Fidelity, Vanguard, Aspire. If you're in California, CalSTRS Pension 2. We have some more vendors in our green list. We also have a yellow list of vendors. That means use caution. And unfortunately, our biggest list is our red list, John. Lots of vendors on the red list. One last thing I'll say is sometimes these high-cost vendors actually offer what we call secret low-cost vendors. So on our homepage, on the right-hand side under Quick Start Guide, we have a link to a story called "When Bad Vendors Offer Good Choices." So go ahead and click there and see if one of these bad actors actually have a low-cost product that, John, they frankly do not market and do not mention.
Look at that vendor list. Find if there's low-cost vendor. If not, hey, you guys are going to help them figure that out. Thank you for all you're doing. Phenomenal work.
I appreciate it. It's a lot of work getting all these vendors.
This one is from username VTS3X from the BogleHeads forums, who writes, given equal investment choices, is there any reason to not prioritize a governmental 457B over a 403B if I am unable to max out both and neither offers an employer match? Example, both plan types offered Aspire self-directed as the best option.
I love this question because we believe, even though we are 403bwise.org, we are huge fans of the 457B. It is objectively superior to the K-12 403B for several reasons. There is more fiduciary oversight. Most states have some type of 457B fiduciary language. So surprise, surprise, it's required. What do school districts do? What do police departments do? Other firefighting departments, other entities offering the 457B? John, they offer good retirement options. And it's the same for teachers. So we would say, yes, look at this. Not only is there more fiduciary oversight, you can access funds at any age if you separate from service. So let's say you're 25 years old, you were a teacher, decide to leave the profession. Let's say you decide to do something else. You can go ahead and access those funds penalty free. Now, you will still owe taxes on it. But also, John, you talked about before about the FIRE movement, financially independent, retired early. Let's say you're one of these teachers and you plan to retire at 50. Well, the 457B is just fantastic because you can access that money at age 50. Now, if you had saved in a K-12 403B, you would not be able to get that money until you are 55, penalty free.
Most workplace retirement plans, such as a 403B or 401K, have early distribution penalties. That means paying an additional 10% in taxes if taking money out early. That's not the case with the governmental 457B plan. You can make distributions penalty-free at any time with separation from service.
Finally, the 457B has this phenomenal provision. It's called the three-year rule. 3 years prior to retirement, you can double your contributions. So this year, you can put $20,500 into a 403B or a 457B. But if you take advantage of the three-year rule, John, you can put 41 $1,000 into your 457B. Can you imagine doing that three times for 3 years in a row before retirement? It can really supercharge your retirement nest egg. We have lots of information on the 457B, on 403BYs. We've done podcasts on it. We have profiled state plans. Some of the best 457B plans out there are state-based plans. Two of our favorite are the New York State Deferred Compensation Plan. They have $23 billion of assets under management. Why? It's not just teachers. It's firefighters, police officers, government officials. They offer an S&P 500 fund that charges 0.0082, I think is what it is. The other great state-based plan, and these two are not alone, but I want to highlight these two, is the Ohio Deferred Compensation Plan. So if we have anyone listening today who's in Ohio, I would seek out that plan first. Not only do they have low-cost Vanguard funds, they also have online enrollment. So it is simple to begin investing in the Ohio Deferred Compensation Plan.
Absolutely. That 457B is going to be a phenomenal tool for those tackling early retirement. And as Dan mentioned, episode 11 of the Bogleheads Live series, you can check out that podcast to hear about some early retirement planning when it comes to taxes. This one is also from the Bogleheads forums. What are some strategies you'd recommend for using a 457B and 403B to most effectively minimize taxes in a fire situation? Say retiring at 50 or 55. Thank you for your time and efforts to educate on 403Bs in an educational setting. Your book, podcast, website, and Facebook page have had a huge impact on my financial planning and will save me a lot of money in the long term.
Oh, John, I just love this question. I really appreciate the kind words. Thank you so much for those. This can get complex, and I think this is a time to seriously consider hiring a fiduciary advisor on an hourly basis to help you come up with a tax plan. This could be money really well spent, especially if it saves you $5,000, $10,000 on your taxes. On our homepage, the bottom of the 403bwise.org homepage, we have a section called Wise Advice, and it talks about using the right kind of advisor, a fiduciary advisor. We have a list of questions that you should use when you interview an advisor, and we also have links to three organizations where you can find a fiduciary advisor. But what I would say personally is we often talk about investing diversification, the importance of having not only S&P 500 domestic mutual fund, you also need an international fund. We think that participants should also think about tax diversification. For my wife and I, we save both on a pre-tax basis. I have a 403B, of course, and she has a 401k. And then we both have Roth IRAs. So in retirement, we'll be able to draw from different tax buckets.
Stephen Fox, our guest for episode 17, mentions that same thing, tax diversification. Especially if you're going to be doing early retirement, it can be valuable to have money in a traditional tax-deferred bucket, money in a Roth bucket that's tax-free, and then money in plain vanilla taxable account. And then having money in that 457, you can access that penalty-free as well. That's another consideration for your tax planning for those FIRE folks. Dan, why do 403Bs get such a bad rap?
They deserve it. I mentioned the difference with fiduciary, but again, I just want to emphasize, it does not have to be this way, especially if you are an educator listening. Gently prod your school district to do better.
To give a little bit of a geeky investing nerd answer to that, why do 403Bs get such a bad rap? Well, because they have high fees. And when it comes to investing, any good Boglehead knows that we want to keep those fees as low as possible. That's going to give you the best odds of investing success. So if we've got high fees, that bad rap is warranted. But to Dan's point, there can be a lot of really good low-cost 403Bs out there. You just got to do the work and find them. And even then, if they're not available, go ahead and champion to have those low-fee investment options added. Dan, what is happening in the space that teachers need to be aware of?
Equitable Financial is one of the most available financial companies on K-12 403B vendor list. It's the rare vendor list that doesn't have Equitable. The SEC just announced a couple weeks ago a $50 million fine of Equitable for nefarious behavior. They were hiding costs. My advice to a school district is, why would you continue to allow this financial company to sell product to your employees? This company was just fined $50 million for deceptive sales practices. If another vendor, let's say the folks that paint your school or provide the fuel for the buses or the food service for your school district, if they engage in deceptive sales practices, you would probably dump them. That would be something that I would encourage school districts to do. Again, if you're new to these issues, join the 403BY's Facebook. Help us fix the broken K-12 403B. We need more people to speak out at the grassroots level, more people to help educate teachers about the K-12 403B. And if anybody listening to this is affiliated with a teacher education program, we will do a free Get Wise to the 403B and 457B presentation to the soon-to-be teachers. I would love if future teachers got this information before they step on a campus because they are so vulnerable to these sales practices. These sales agents will provide so-called free lunches in the staff lounge. They will bombard email inboxes and they'll use very deceptive language like, you are eligible to meet with a financial professional. John, you know how low the bar is for using terms like financial planner, financial professional. Folks, these individuals are not like John. They are not fiduciary advisors. They are under no obligation to put your interest above yours.
With respect to the Equitable salespeople saying, hey, there's no fee on this product. There's no fee to invest in this. I'm sure you've heard the expression, if it's too good to be true, it probably is.
It is. And John, it's not just Equitable. I do a weekly blog post and I just wrote a column called Fine in quote unquote 403B companies. And I say, look, it's not just Equitable. I'm just going to read you six headlines. SEC announces $97 million enforcement action against TIAA subsidiary. Insurance giant MetLife to pay $20 million fine. Primerica setting aside $9.3 million settlement. Delaware Attorney General Jennings secures relief for over 120 teachers in connection with their Horace Mann retirement accounts. Palm Beach Gardens brokerage firm GWN Securities Incorporated fined for overcharging customers. SEC charges Valic financial advisors with failing to disclose payments to promote service to Florida educators. John, this is a nationwide problem.
And I'm curious now, what's the postscript to all those fines? Do the high-fee providers revamp their offerings? Do they offer
fiat?
No, it's just business.
No, it is. And I had a laugh, and I hope I get this language right. Equitable said they're going to enhance how they share information. And we just did our most recent podcast is on this settlement. And again, my partner, Scott Downhower, shared that these companies are actually not even required to make their fees super transparent. Equitable got caught because on some of the statements under fees, it said zero. If they just didn't even have the mention of fees, they would have been fine. Now, of course, they have a prospectus, but who do you know that goes and looks at a 50-page prospectus? So this whole thing, it really is about transparency. And again, go to our website, look at our green vendors. If you don't see one of those, look out, but also ask to have them added. What you also might get is a so-called sales agent saying, oh yeah, I've got Vanguard. And they do have Vanguard. And you know, Vanguard charges like 0.1%. But what these companies do is, just like that Horace Mann situation, they'll layer on 1-2% in fees on top of that. They'll sort of satisfy you by saying, oh yeah, you've got Vanguard, but you don't have Vanguard direct. It's like buying from a car dealership compared to buying direct from Tesla. You're going to get all these fees layered on.
That's a really great point. Some great guidance there. Don't say, hey, I want Vanguard. Hey, I want index funds. The better question to ask is, what are my all-in fees? What am I paying in total to invest?
And John, if I could add one more thing. The
Please.
Other thing that's so troubling to us, this is like on a daily basis, we get a new member of the 403BY's Facebook group, and they'll say something like, I am so glad I found this Facebook group. I didn't know that I was paying these fees. How do I get out of this company? And so our number one story is how to get out of AXA Equitable, the very company that was just fined $50 million. And what you can do is you can access that from our quick start guide on our homepage, get out of a bad 403B. And within that is a link to how to get out of AXA. But it's not just the high fees, John. They charge surrender fees for leaving. So imagine this. You're a teacher. You're in your staff lounge. You're so busy with all the demands of being a teacher. I taught public school for 10 years. I know how hard this job is. You walk in, there's free lunch, and there's someone who says he or she is a financial professional. You have to believe that the school district is sanctioning them. Why would that person be in there? And this person will say something, do you care about your financial future? Well, of course you do. And then they start talking about investing, and most people graduate from college with no idea how to invest. So you fall for this so-called advisor. And we often call it the one-day stand, because you never see this person again. They're all about signing you up. But let's say you find out about the fine, or somehow you find out about 403BYs. You come to our Facebook group. You ask how to get out. What you find out, not only have you been paying 2-3% in fees, there's a surrender charge to get out, which can be 5% of your balance. Even worse, these companies often charge it on a rolling basis. We're in August now, the beginning of the month. You contributed $200 to your Equitable 403B. That $200 is locked in for 5 to 6 years. It'll have a penalty associated with it if you want to take it out. Let's say you find out you've got a bad vendor, lucky enough to have a good vendor, stop contributing to the bad vendor. Your school district will have something called a salary reduction agreement. This simply says how much each paycheck you want to go to your chosen company, and you also mention which company that is. Stop the payment to the high-cost company. Look at your vendor list. Let's say you've got a really good company. So you'll have to contact them, open an account, go back to your school district, and fill out the salary reduction agreement. And I would tell teachers, because this is overwhelming, might want to wait till next summer or to your Christmas holiday break, because it is that in-depth to get out and untangle yourself from these companies. But the good news is, on a weekly basis, we are getting people posting in our Facebook group saying, thank you to this group. I successfully extricated myself from Equitable. It's hard, but it's possible. We've got people in our Facebook group, much like Vogelheads, ready to help teachers.
Hi, Mr. Otter. Thank you so much for doing this. I am going to a fundraiser for a school board candidate, and I paid attention to what you said earlier about approaching school board. Can you specifically talk about what to say to someone who's running for school board who doesn't really know about these issues? I'm in Virginia, and I see that in that city she's in, it's a C grade according to your website.
If it's a C, that means you have at least one good low-cost vendor. So what I'm doing, just so people listening, is I went to her homepage, I clicked on that yellow box, I'm scrolling down to Virginia, and then now I've got a list of all the school districts in Virginia. What's the name of the school district?
It's Chesapeake.
Chesapeake City Public Schools. They offer both a 403B and a 457B. There is one low-cost option. It's Aspire Financial Services. The best way to think about them, they're almost like a supermarket. They don't offer their own products, but they make available hundreds of products from financial companies, including Vanguard and Fidelity. And if you are an advisor like John, you can use Aspire as an advisor, but you also, as a participant, can invest directly. So you can get Vanguard through Aspire for an add-on of 0.15. And again, as I mentioned, Vanguard has funds 0.04. If you add on 0.15, that's 0.2. Compare that to Equitable, over 2%. So that can be a really good deal. I would say, look, we want to attract and retain the best employees possible. And we offer something like the 401k, and it's called a 403b. Unfortunately, we have almost a dozen vendors, and 10 to 11 of them are very high cost. Tell the school board member, let's have a best-in-class 403b so that we can attract the best. And also, I would just point Montgomery County Public Schools in Maryland. They have an A-rated plan. Why does Montgomery County have an A-rated plan and we have a C-rated plan? If we're offering an A-rated education to our students, let's have an A-rated plan for our teachers. What I'd also do, Nina, is I would get the data from the benefits officials. I'd like to see where the money's going. I would bet you not a lot of money is going to Aspire. And that's because participants, they just don't know who the low-cost vendors are. What happens is they go with the person that emails them or is in their staff lounge. I would bet you anything, most of the money is going to the high-cost companies. We would put on a presentation for the school board, Nina. We would go through all of this. We would be willing to help you. We paid a podcast production company to produce a 5-part series on the problems with the K-12 403B, not told by my voice, but the voice of teachers. It's called Learned by Being Burned, Teachers and the K-12 403B. More than a dozen teachers describe how they were first burned by these sales agents and then learned how to get access to good quality 403B plans. The fifth episode, we interviewed John Keevan. John is the one who was at Montgomery County Public Schools who began their transition from 12 vendors to 5 vendors to 1. He literally lays out the playbook for how school districts can do this. This is not an insurmountable task. If you go to 403bwise.org/burned, you can access the transcript from that podcast, and you can use that in your conversation with the school board member. We think it's probably one of our best tools to quickly get people up to speed in a very, we would say, entertaining way. Learned by Being Burned is available on Apple Podcasts and all major podcast outlets, including Spotify and Amazon.
That is beautiful. God's work, Dan. That's what you guys are doing over there.
I want to do a shout out to our single funder, Tim Randetta. Tim is this amazing individual. Tim reached out to us and explained how he co-created a nonprofit whose goal by 2030, every kid graduating from an American high school will have taken a standalone personal finance class. His organization, ngpf.org, is amazing. They have free, interesting, student-friendly, teacher-friendly curriculum. His group has helped get 15 states to adopt personal finance. And his goal, again, by 2030, all 50 will do this. Thanks to Tim's generous support, I run this full-time. We make no money. We don't sell any products. So we believe that we are objective. As much as I like Fidelity, I also like Vanguard. As much as I like Vanguard, I also like CalSTRS Pension too. Our only real client is the participant.
Dan, any final thoughts before I let you go?
I know that teachers have a pension, and a lot of people think, oh, that's all you need. Pensions are getting less and less generous every year. What they're doing is new teachers are often being put into non-pensions plans, 401k-like plans, or less and less pension plans. This makes the 403b and the 457b even more important. Again, if you're in education, if you have the ear of an educator or a school board, please help us advocate. The more people helping us at the grassroots level, the more teachers and school employees that we can help.
Well, folks, that is going to be it for all the time that we have today. Next week, our guest will be Mike Piper discussing bequest allocation and bequest location. We'll have Derek Tharp the week after, discussing how to take money out of your portfolio in retirement. You can check out all the resources for do-it-yourself investors on the Bogleheads Forum, the Bogleheads Wiki, Bogleheads Reddit, Bogleheads Facebook, Bogleheads Twitter, Bogleheads YouTube, Bogleheads local chapters, with San Diego being one of the most awesome chapters, the Bogleheads virtual online chapters, the Bogleheads on Investing podcast. For our very own podcast listeners, if you could take a moment to subscribe and to rate the podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever you get your podcast. Finally, we'd love your feedback. If you have a comment or guest suggestion, tag your host at John Luskin on Twitter. Thank you again, everyone. Look forward to seeing you all again next week, where Mike Piper will return to discuss bequest strategies. Until then, have a great week.